Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? I'm recording this in 2021, and we're still not at the end of the current worldwide pandemic. People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too. Isaiah 43, verse 16 to 21. If you've got a Red Church Bible, it's actually on page 730. But if you don't, you can find your own page number. Isaiah 43, starting at verse 16, says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Now, the question we have this evening is this. Why is spiritual blindness a bad thing? Why is spiritual blindness a bad thing? Before COVID hit, we were running a Christianity Explored session in our house. And the speaker is a man named Rico Tice. You might know him if you've done the course. He showed us this picture. Here it comes. What do you see? Do you see a rabbit or do you see a duck? Do you see a rabbit or do you see a duck? You see, the point is that we might think that we can see something clearly, but may only be seeing part of the picture. Unless you see the rabbit and the duck, well, you're missing a bit of the picture. Now, these things, they're sure to cause a debate. It's husband versus wife, it's parent versus child. Can you see it? Well, it certainly caused a debate that evening at Christianity Explored. We did finally get back onto topic. It took a little while, though. But you see, the reason I raise this is that's the question Isaiah is asking in this passage this evening. He's asking, can you see it? It's a question that's going to make all the difference to his readers. If you remember right back to the start of this series, I was saying that Israel had three reasons for discomfort. Do you remember this? Three reasons for discomfort. Exile, distrust, and blindness. Exile, distrust, and blindness. And as we've worked through this text, we've seen God's promise to deal with each of them one by one. He's going to gather the people back together again. He's going to solve their exile. And he's shown himself to be trustworthy. We've seen the court case, haven't we? God has shown that he has done what he said he would in the past, and that Israel can say it is true, as we saw last week. But the question of blindness, is that solved? Can you see, Isaiah says this evening? So this evening, we're going to be thinking about this question. Why is spiritual blindness a bad thing? See, in today's world, blindness is not as big an issue as it used to be. I remember when I was growing up, there was a lady at my church who owned this fascinating machine. It was the Braille machine. Her name was Kathy, and I used to love going to Kathy's house, because I could type on this keyboard and out would come these kind of dots that were raised, and she could read these secret messages I'd write to her, stamped onto the paper. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. But that's not the blindness that Isaiah is talking about. This is spiritual blindness. This is not being able to see God at work in the world. I mean, we can be the same, can't we? When things don't seem to be going the way we'd hoped, when disaster comes, when things become a bit uncomfortable, we can start to question, is God really in control? We see in those times, as Rico in Christianity Explored says, We might think we can see something clearly, but we may only be seeing part of the picture. For Israel, as Isaiah was writing this, exile is looming. Thoughts start to cross their minds. Surely this is happening because the Babylonians have a bigger army. God can't be in control of this. Or perhaps those people reading this in exile. Well, no one's ever been released from exile before. Surely God can't do anything about this. So it's easy for Israel at this time to be thinking that God is not in control. It seems like the Babylonian army, they're the ones who are calling the shots. So why not just go along with that and forget all about God? Well, the issue comes down to whether they can see what God is doing or not. So why is spiritual blindness a bad thing? Well, the answer is because it stops you seeing what God is doing. Because it stops you seeing what God is doing. Let's see how that comes out in this passage, shall we? Well, first of all, Isaiah takes his hearers back. He says to them, think back. Think back to the greatest rescue that God has ever done for you. Think back to the Exodus. Have a look at verses 16 and 17. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. If you remember Israel, they'd been slaves in Egypt. Then after 10 plagues, finally they were set free. They made their way across the desert when all of a sudden the sound of wheels could be heard coming behind them. Behind the Israelites were all of Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen and his troops. In front of them stood a sea. There was nowhere to go. But God made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. It was unexpected. When's that ever happened before? Well, the people they walked through with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. The Egyptians, they start to make their way across. They follow the Israelites into the sea, and then the waters come crashing down. Chariots, horses, army, reinforcements, all destroyed, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. I mean, even telling the story now, it feels like an amazing rescue, doesn't it? It's the pinnacle of the Old Testament to this point. Do you remember those days, Israel, Isaiah is saying? You see, the same God who did that for you is the one who's speaking to you right now. Do you see? He's still there. He's still faithful. He's still the same God today. And yet that should cause us to be shocked, surprised by verse 18, because Isaiah is going to move on. He moves on and he says something even more amazing. Have a look at verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, Isaiah, he's just gone through those details. And yet he says, forget about that, Israel. Don't dwell on that. Now, that isn't Isaiah saying don't ever think about the Exodus. But instead, what he's saying here is that what is coming is going to make it look like nothing. What's going to happen next is going to make this look like absolutely nothing. I was thinking about what captures this picture well, and I thought of my mobile phone. Izzy can attest to this. When I get a new phone, I treat it very carefully. Very carefully. I make sure I keep the little plastic sheet on the screen until I can replace it with a better one. I'm careful not to throw it around. I kind of cradle it and put it down carefully. I enjoy seeing all the cool little things that it can do. But then as the years roll on, well, the phone upgrade comes about, doesn't it? All of a sudden, I don't know what happens, but my once amazing phone, well, it now suddenly looks old. It looks outdated. It seems slow. And I can't work out how I ever used it before. It's not that the old phone's changed, it's just that the new one is so much better. It makes me forget all about the last one. And I think that is a small picture of what's going on here. Well, why forget the former things? This is a picture of a jackal, if you wonder. Why forget about the former things? Well, verses 19 to 21. God says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals, they honour me, the jackals and owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. See, previously, God had made a way through the sea, but now he's going to make a way through the wilderness. God is going to do a new exodus. We've seen that in previous weeks, haven't we? And Isaiah is saying that this new exodus is going to be like a new creation. The creation will honour God. The wild animals, the jackals, the owls, all those creatures who live in the wilderness, they're going to rejoice over what God is doing. And just like God gave Israel water in the desert the first time, well, he's going to do it again here. All so that they will proclaim his praise. God has done it before, and so he can and he will do it again. I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds like the answer to all that Israel has been waiting for, everything that Israel needs for comfort. Yet, there is one ominous question here. It's right in the middle of the text. It's sitting there. You might blink and miss it. Right at the center of this text, which I said lies right in the center of this section of Isaiah. Did you spot it? It's like one of those questions that your parents ask. All of a sudden, it makes your heart go. Let me read verse 19 once again. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? See, that is the big question here in this passage. Yes, God is going to rescue his people. Yes, he's going to bring them home. But can they see it? Can they see that God is the one who is in control of this situation? See, this here is far more important than a family feud over a dog rabbit. This is far more serious a problem. Even more serious than someone driving at night with their headlights off. Because what they can see, it makes all the difference. If Israel is still blind, they're not going to understand what's going on. They can have the most dramatic rescue the world has ever seen, but it's not going to do a thing. In fact, it's going to be the same situation all over again. It's going to be a repeat. This is not going to fix anything. You see, it didn't take long for the people to turn away from God the first time. If you were to go back to Exodus, read Exodus 14, 15, the glorious Exodus story, the moment they crossed the Red Sea, the moment that God took them through the sea and he crushed their enemies under the waves. You come to the end of that chapter and you see this. Moses writes there, so the people grumbled. They've just been through the Exodus and still they grumble. See, if we're going to have comfort, if we're going to have true comfort here in Isaiah, there's going to have to be something more, something bigger than exile, something bigger than just a demonstration of who God is. See, no matter how big that demonstration is, we're going to need something more. There's going to need to be something, or perhaps someone, who's going to open the eyes of the blind. Someone or something that's going to make Israel see the one true God at work. Perhaps you know where this story is going. Well, how does this apply to us this evening? Well, the same way it does in Isaiah, really. Spiritual blindness is still a thing today. It affects how we see and therefore affects how we live our lives. Israel doesn't see God at work, and so they don't trust him. They don't rely on him. And that's the human condition, isn't it? If we don't see God at work in our world, well, we're going to find our eyes quickly drawn back to ourselves to see what's going on in the here and the now. And that's going to dictate how we live our lives. One way that might show itself, and one that is apt for an evening like this, is how we pray. If we truly believe that God is at work in our world, well, we're going to pray like it. We're going to ask God for more. We're going to be praying more. Like Israel should hear, we need to continue to look to God as the Saviour. We need to continue to trust him to finish the work that he begun. We need to trust him to bring in the new creation and deal with our comfort, our discomforts in the here and now. See, the great news of the gospel is that someone did come and open the eyes of the blind. The great news of the gospel is that God has opened our eyes. How much worse would it be if we didn't see him at work now? See, we might think we can see something clearly, but we may only be seeing part of the picture. Let's pray this evening that God would keep our eyes open to his work and keep us listening and trusting him for our futures.
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.